This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
There's been a lot of talk in the media about the responsibility to hold Donald Trump accountable. And I'm here to tell you that it goes two ways. We're going to hold the press accountable as well.
And so it begins. President Trump's press secretary wages war against the press for reporting the noticeably smaller crowd at his inauguration.
Yay!
Despite the lower turnout, you'll hear from fired up Trump supporters celebrating victory. Plus, we'll catch up with some of the many who traveled far to witness history, from the inauguration to the march in Washington.
We were just walking down the street and you recognized me and I recognized you and said, oh, Floridian.
And we'll remember the legacy of President Barack Obama from some very smart brothers.
That famous picture of Obama, you know, reaching down or, you know, bending over and that little black boy touching his hair. I mean, it's such an iconic picture because it shows that this little black child is recognizing the future that could be his in the President of the United States, somebody looks like him.
All that and more coming up on episode 91 of The Rotunda. All right, let's jump right into this episode. You're on the Silver Line on the DC Metro right now with me as I make my way to witness the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. You're tagging along on my journey of this busy week in Washington, where we'll be exploring alternative facts and all, everything else in between. But as I travel along to witness and document history, you'll hear from some of the people, I'm stressing some of the people, we found along the way. Had a bit of technical difficulties, but that will not stop us. Let's keep on going because it is a packed show. Now I'm walking the crowded streets alongside others trying to get to their viewing points to witness the inauguration.
Okay, then we're kind of going in the same direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So the original plan for me in following the inauguration and to provide coverage was to camp out at the Florida House on Capitol Hill, as you've heard on episode 90.
I have the blue section. And I figured it's too much of a hassle to go through all the security. So I'm like, let me just go watch it on TV.
Oh,
as close
great.
As possible at the Florida great. House. You should come by.
I know, I might. Say hi.
But while I made that decision, I bump into a familiar face, Florida lobbyist Lena Juarez, from the halls of Florida's Capitol to the streets of Washington.
I'm here. This is my first inauguration, believe it or not, even though I've been in politics for a very long time. And a client invited me to be here and enjoy the festivities.
Yeah.
And I am witnessing history today.
And how did we bump into each other?
Yeah. We were just walking down the street and you recognized me and I recognized you and said, oh, Floridian.
I saw the look on your face. Where am I? Where am I supposed to go?
Yes.
But what is it like to be here? Like, you know, this is a very unlike any other, so controversial going into this presidency. What are your thoughts?
There's something happening worldwide, not just in America, where people are looking for some kind of change or a different kind of leadership. And I think all of us need to notice that.
Yeah.
And this is the most powerful office in the world. And we have someone who's not only never served in politics, but has had success in a completely different career that is unrelated to government.
Yeah.
And it just remains to be seen how our country is going to be governed in the future.
And that's Lena Juarez. We became inseparable after our chance encounter, and we both went on a quest to find her seat. She had an extra ticket and invited me as her guest. But to end the mystery of how this country will be governed, let's tap right into President Trump's speech at his inauguration.
To put their own interests first.
First, of course.
We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow.
Yes.
Sitting right next to me is Carolina Valero. She's part of the Virginia Women for Trump group. She was very vocal during the speeches, expressing her praise and discontent, mostly when Obama was mentioned. Listen here.
What does this mean for you?
This is everything for me, but mostly for my kids.
Okay.
Because I want them to know what was America about, why we're here, why I brought them here. Why? And they have to honor it and respect it. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of values and principles, and somehow we were lost in it through the years, through the last 8 years or so, and I want them back.
Yeah.
I want them back.
Yeah.
I want to, and I agree with Mr. Trump. President say, we have the same blood. We don't have to be divided by color or by, by anything, by gender or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We are Americans. We have to live as an Americans. I'm Colombian. I have a background, a Latino background,
yeah.
But I believe in America. And I love my the country where I born.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm here, I have to live as an American.
Okay.
I cannot live as a Colombian here.
Mm-hmm.
So
what do you make of, like, the obvious, like, you know, as a Colombian, Latina background, the racial tension and issues that pop up?
I never feel it. Never feel it. It's something like the media creates. Never, ever,
mm-hmm.
until the last 4 years, I never, ever talk about races or anything. I can say, you know, my grandpa called me Negrita, and I'm fine with it. It's good, it's fine, it's good, it's perfect. I don't have that thing in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wake up every day thinking, oh, I'm brownish, and my friend is black, or my friend is white. No, no, I don't.
What do you think Trump will do for the country?
He will do great. He will do great. He's the guy we need right now. He's strong. He doesn't care. He countered the journalists when they say fake news. And they really love America.
Mm-hmm.
And they have everything. So he doesn't need money or power. He already have it. So he's giving us the opportunity to be Americans again, to rise, to get wealth, to get out of welfare, to find opportunities, and he's giving us everything, and he's giving us God back.
But what we're seeing is, like, even though he has power and wealth, he seeks more power and wealth.
I don't think so.
You don't think
so?
No,
I don't think so. You can see him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need it. He's so humble. I know him. We were campaigning for him for 19 months already.
Mm-hmm.
We are a group of 2,507. Tonight is our ball. If you want to come,
okay.
You can come. It's at Fortune in Full Church. Fortune Restaurant.
Fortune Restaurant.
Yeah, in Seven Corners.
Okay.
Fortune is like a Chinese restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
500 people. We sold 500 tickets.
Okay.
We were planning to do just 200.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have 500. It's
sold out.
We packed. We It's you can imagine how women are strong about Mr. Trump.
Yeah, the controversy about
no.
grabbing women by the
yeah.
That
I talk even worse with my friends
mm-hmm.
when we are in a close setting about men. So forget it.
And lastly, you see, the issue with Russia. Are you concerned at all?
I love to that we are not fighting with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I love that we don't want to be their friends, but we don't want them to be enemies. I like Putin.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's strong, and I want him to handle his side of the world, but we want to handle our side.
Yeah.
So why do we have to fight with him? We don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a war. We don't need anything.
All right.
We want them to do whatever they want and keep us, keep us safe.
So with symbolism here, like when he got to the podium, it started raining a little bit. What did you think about that?
Nothing. Perfect. I saw last year when Obama, it was snowing. And the other, 4 years before, it was so freaking cold. It was the Arctic cold,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
So nothing.
Yeah. You were here for Obama's inauguration as well?
Well, no.
No.
I don't like Obama. But
why not?
I went because I don't like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him. I think he's fake. That's the thing. When you see someone, you can tell. Well, I can tell. I'm a mother. I can tell. Mm-hmm. I don't like him. I don't care if he's black or brown or yellow or white. I don't care. He can be whatever. When he wants, he is white. And when he goes to California and to golf and whatever. And when he wants to push and make disagreements or racist think or divide the country, he's black.
Yeah.
Is he crazy? Mm-hmm. No, he has to stop doing that. Yeah. He has to stop doing that. If he really loves America, he has to stop doing that. He has to be loyal with us.
Out of the 8 years, despite didn't liking him, is there anything that was like, okay, that was okay?
No, I was thinking because I want to be, you know, fair. Mm-hmm. I want to give something. No, nothing. No.
All right.
No.
And that's Carolina Valero, part of the Virginia Women for Trump. Now, at first, she couldn't find anything to give credit to the Obamas for. Her dislike ran very deep. But she did find something to admire.
The only thing that I think he was good is, mm-hmm. like, he's an entertainment guy.
Mm-hmm.
A little more than Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, for my taste.
For the entertainment and stuff like that.
Yeah, because he just liked, you know, to say what people want to listen.
Yeah.
Oh, but he doesn't feel it.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. That's my problem with him.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I like better Michelle Obama than the guy.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Alright, so while Carolina Valero struggled to find anything good to say about the Obamas, I didn't have to look too far to find those who were actually wishing the Obamas had 4 more years in the White House.
And my mom really wanted to get up here. She's like, I need to go to the White House before they leave. Like, I gotta go before they leave. I'm like, Ma, it's not gonna be a different house. She's like, but it is gonna be a different house. Before they leave, like, I need to get in there.
A couple of days before Trump's inauguration, I was invited to a panel discussion titled, My President Was Black.
I can say, as a young African-American man who has struggled with the often unrealistic and unfair expectation America has of black people, that President Obama makes me proud to be a free black man. Taking notes from how he continues to operate with grace, often in the face of insensitive comments and sometimes offensive acts, I am inspired by President Obama to be better, especially in the moments when my character is questioned and my competence is challenged.
That's David Johns reading an excerpt from his published letter in TheRoot.com, thanking President Obama for making him feel all the feels.
Obama's farewell address for me came when he spoke freely about his love of family. Listening to President Obama thank his family for their sacrifice, service, and love makes me want to be a better man so that I too can show up whole and be fully present as a life partner.
Panama Jackson of Very Smart Brothers co-hosted and moderated the event.
This was a reflection on the Obama years in the White House. And we, Justin Baskerville and I, put this on because we wanted to, look, everybody's having these discussions at home and amongst their friends, and we decided we wanted to have this discussion in a group form and let people voice their opinions and talk about how they feel about the end of the Obama era in the White House and what that means to them personally and, you know, what that means to the community.
What does that mean to you as we are seeing the inauguration of President-elect Trump, who will soon be the president of the United States? What do you feel about this transition from Barack Obama, what he's done for the past 8 years, and what we're about to get into?
Yeah, I'm not super enthusiastic about this transition, like most people aren't, but I'm also, look, I know the Obamas aren't going anywhere. I look forward to what they do in their next lives as pseudo-private citizens. But also, you know, it just makes me think there's more work to do. Like, we're in this position because, you know, people didn't get out to vote. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to ensure that black people specifically who feel maligned by this type of environment, you know, that we make sure that we don't deal with this sitting down and we stand up and we do what we need to be doing. So for me, it's a bit sad, but it's also a time for action. This should spur a lot of people into action, and I hope that's the enduring legacy of what Obama meant to most of us, like action, being somebody who got in there. So we all know that we can all do that same thing as well.
So what kind of action do you think will happen or you hope to see?
I think we'll see a lot more protests, a lot more people not just putting up with any negativity or racist rhetoric or policies that negatively impact our communities. I think you're going to get a lot more protests in that form. That's going to cause people who are in positions to make a difference have to take notice and have to, you know, help affect that change for us in a positive fashion. That's my hope anyway. That's what I hope happens.
So my president was black. It's the title there, it exudes, like, you know, pride in seeing something that we thought wouldn't happen. Was there a moment that sticks out to you that really, other than him making it to the White House, that really sticks out, that like, you know, that made you proud, that made you feel that you can do what you want to do as a black person?
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that famous picture of Obama, you know, reaching down or, you know, bending over and that little black boy touching his hair, I mean, that's such an iconic picture because it shows that this little black child is recognizing the future that could be his in the president of the United States, somebody looks like him. So, you know, that kind of thing makes me hopeful because you realize even little kids, they recognize, they saw what that was. They understood the moment, even if they don't completely get to grasp it. So, you know, his entire presidency made me feel hopeful about the possibilities. The rest of it is on us to see those possibilities through.
Tell me about your platform and why the title? How did you come up with this title?
So my platform is verysmartbrothers.com. We're online, pop culture, race relationships. The title was actually brought to me by my partner, Justin, and it's based on Ta-Nehisi Coates' article, My President Was Black, in The Atlantic, his most recent article about Obama. So we decided to borrow that title because it was so fitting for this type of discussion, and it works. It made sense for us, and we decided to run with it.
Special thanks to Panama Jackson for the impromptu interview and to David Johns for the invite to what was an inspirational conversation about the Obamas. Mr. David Johns was the executive director of the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for African Americans, which President Obama established in 2012. David Johns is a frequent contributor on BET and publications like The Root. Also, to learn more about Panama Jackson, visit verysmartbrothers.com. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, inviting you to visit rotundapodcast.com to learn more about this program and to invite you to support what we do here each and every week. It's a labor of love, but just visit rotundapodcast.com. Your generous support is what keeps this program going. You can easily become an underwriter and follow us on Twitter at Rotunda Podcast, on Facebook, on Instagram, you name it. And as always, thanks for your support. So about those crowd numbers for the inauguration, I'm going to let Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, finish.
This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period, both in person and around the globe.
But we'll look at why people think President Obama had the best crowd showing for an inauguration of all time.
These attempts to lessen the enthusiasm of the inauguration are shameful and wrong.
Whoa, it's not that serious. This is not an issue of national security to call the first official press conference to dispute obvious facts on something very trivial in the grand scheme. On one hand, I could see where this is a serious matter considering Mr. Trump did promise record-breaking turnout, but there are many other things that we could be focused on, and arguing over who had the best crowd showing is not one of them. There was one major piece of news that slipped out during the controversy over the weekend. A major campaign promise by Donald Trump will not be carried out, according to his senior counselor and former campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway.
Final question. You mentioned a couple of 100,000 people who sent in petitions on health care, talking about health care. You also have more than 200,000 petition the White House calling on President Trump to release his full tax returns with all information needed to verify emoluments clause compliance. Whenever 100,000 petition, that triggers a White House response. So what is the White House response?
The White House response is that he's not going to release his tax returns. We litigated this all through the election. People didn't care. They voted for him. And let me make this very clear. Most Americans are very focused on what their tax returns will look like while President Trump is in office, not what his look like.
That's Kellyanne Conway speaking on ABC News. This comes as no surprise, however, but it's a significant flip-flop. Trump's tax returns are key to revealing his financial interests and the depths of any possible conflicts of interests. However, to Trump's argument and point, he won the presidency without having to reveal his returns. So why should he do it now? Do you agree with Kellyanne Conway's assertion that the public just does not care about Trump's tax returns? Send us a tweet, send me a message on Facebook, let us know what you think.
Not backing down!
More than a million women marched on the day after the inauguration in support of women's rights across the country and to make the biggest display against the Trump presidency. We'll hear from some of those who marched in Washington to speak up and speak out against President Trump.
Your arms, you're gross. You didn't get the popular vote.
For Aisha, she felt she just couldn't stay home and watch from her television.
There's a lot of people here today. I never protested in my life. That's my first time, but I have to come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to. I'm here, I'm happy. If I was in my house, I wouldn't be happy. Yeah, I have to show myself. I know maybe it will not make difference, but I have to express myself.
You feel like you're doing something?
Yeah, I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Aisha was reluctant to share details about herself. It was mostly due to the noise, not hearing questions, but she did say she depends on Obamacare for her health insurance.
I live in Washington.
What brought you out today?
What brought me out? The right for the woman, the right for everybody, for human rights. Mm-hmm. Trump is not a good person for the White House. He needs to go. He's not supposed to be voted for. Mm-hmm. But this thing happened, now we're fighting for our right. That's all brought me here. I'm mad of Trump.
You're
Trump
mad.
Is not, yeah. He attacked all, everybody, he attacked everybody. He attacked immigration, human rights, and Obamacare, especially for Obamacare, brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is it with Obamacare that brought you here? You use Obamacare?
Yeah, I use Obamacare. So
how?
I don't want him to take Obamacare off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Side of
yeah.
I don't want that to be taken off.
Yeah.
And I want immigration to be left alone too. Everybody get right to be here. Everybody come from somewhere. Here.
Where are you from?
I'm from
guessing
Africa.
From your accent.
Africa.
Which part?
Republic of Guinea.
Guinea, okay. I've never been. I hope to visit one day.
Ah.
I'm from Guyana in South America.
South America.
Yeah. If Trump was standing in front of you right now, what would you tell him?
To go away. I don't want him. Why he have to be candidate? Even candidate to be president. He know what to be candidate. He know what to be president. He's supposed to move.
Mm-hmm.
He's racist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, but you see how the people react. How many people are here?
Yeah, a lot. And
nobody is happy. He's a racist.
Next, we talk with Sharat from Houston, Texas, and Kristen from Philadelphia.
We wanted to come out so that he could hear our voices, because it seems like our voices are being met with deaf ears, and let him know that there are a lot of people who did not vote for him, because he's under the delusion that they did.
What did you guys think of his speech yesterday? He mentioned a lot of this is giving power back to the people and all of that stuff. What do you make of his words from his inauguration speech?
All right, so we have to get it. I was actually very saddened by his speech because I felt that he suggested that he was, the tone suggested he thought he was the kind of savior of the country, and I thought he put such dark, the kind of, there was such a dark tone to it, kind of gloom and doom, and suggesting that the American, there was carnage, and, you know, that's not to say that there aren't things we can improve on, but I found it a very deeply depressing statement, and I don't particularly see him as the person who's going to lead us out of whatever carnage he seems to think we're in.
So we're here at the Women's March, but there are people who support him. There are Women for Trump groups. I talked with one yesterday, and they seem to give him a pass on everything that he has said. I think she said that how, oh, I talk worse with my girlfriends and stuff like that. At this march here, what do you say to the tone that he has been speaking? Like, what's your message overall?
I don't think he speaks for the majority of women at all. Not all women are the same, and not all women share the same views or want to focus on the same issues. There are women who support Trump, but I don't think he represents the majority of women's interests.
I have a hard time understanding personally how women can look past the attitudes he has expressed towards women. I mean, regardless of what you may feel about his policies or his ideas, I kind of stop short at the way he treats women. And it's difficult for me to understand, actually, how women can look past that.
When women's rights are under attack, we stand up, we fight back.
And peering through the crowds, I finally spot the people from Florida wearing an orange sash that says, Florida. Here's Carolyn Freitag.
4:45
in Gainesville.
In Gainesville.
Free lift ride.
And then got back, got down
ride.
Here.
So it's free lift. Free lift.
So then we were one of six, seven buses from Gainesville.
Okay.
Yep.
And where are you from?
Bradenton.
Bradenton.
Yep.
What brought you here?
A couple of reasons. I have always felt that we should have our own reproductive rights, and I don't want to see anybody take those away.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have a gay brother, so I'm marching for him, too.
All right. So what do you make of President Trump?
He wasn't my choice. Let's put him that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be watching everything he does. I have been much more politically involved since the election.
Yeah.
Joined the ACLU. Donate a lot of money now to Planned Parenthood in places, and making sure that everybody has enough money to do the jobs we're going to need them to do.
Yeah. Now, what do you make of Florida having a seat at the table with the relationship with Governor Rick Scott?
We're actually focusing in on the next 2 years' elections, because we've got to prepare for the possibility that he's going to try to run for Senator Nelson's seat.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that. We just can't have any more of him and his cronies and Bondi and her cronies anywhere near Florida. It's holding us back big time.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. During the inauguration festivities, Florida showed great representation, hosting a successful Sunshine Ball. My invitation was somehow lost in the mail. I'm sticking with that. But I did stop over for my own fun at the Florida House on Capitol Hill, as promised. I met up with Bart Hudson, and I interviewed Republican freshman Congressman Neil Dunn. By the way, due to technical difficulties, that interview is missing. I'll have to see if I can get it for next week's episode. But in summary, Neil Dunn talked of his support for Donald Trump and giving him a chance to take hold of the presidency and to do the job before him. All right, to wrap things up, I did have a little bit of fun in the DC area. I caught up with Jesse Panuccio at the famous Willard Intercontinental Hotel. Here we are at the Round Bar, having a drink and a not too deep discussion about politics.
Well, the Willard is a Washington institution that dates back at least to the Lincoln era in Washington, and of course, the term lobbying was coined here because they would meet in the lobby to ask the president for things, and so that's where the term came from. And I think it's one of the the great places to come and meet with people and talk about politics and break bread and have a drink. So we've landed in one of the real landmarks of Washington, D.C.
So last time I interviewed you, you were with the Department of Economic Opportunity. What are you up to now?
Well, yes, I was. You were one of my last interviews as I was leaving, and I'm now practicing law in Miami and Washington, D.C. with Foley and Lardner, and building a practice and having a great time representing clients back in the courts of our state and around the country.
So what you're here, you're obviously excited as a conservative to see Donald Trump, the president of the United States, after months of saying president-elect, or has it been months or a long time it seemed, like president-elect, it's official. He's president.
It's official, and I will tell you, having seen a few different inaugurations in Washington, it is always something to behold in our country, the peaceful transition of power, to see the pomp and circumstance around it, to come be in this city and see the buildings and the people of government. It is awe-inspiring, and you know, as a conservative, I am hopeful that many of the things that I didn't agree with in recent years are going to be reversed. I think we're looking at a cabinet with many great appointees. The people I'm seeing going into government are first rate in every way. And so I think it's a hopeful time and a hopeful time for the country. And hopefully we're going to be on a good track going forward.
A lot of people don't believe this, though. When we are looking at the unrest today, it's happening. It's probably happening right now. And we're in this bubble here, this wonderful hotel. But a lot of people are protesting the presidency, not my president. They don't see it as legitimate for a variety of reasons, including the obvious, the Russian influence. So how do you feel seeing that? And do you have any qualms with some of those issues? Are any of them legitimate?
Well, I think we are a country that takes our politics very seriously. And we have a very vocal minority on both the right and the left that can't accept anyone on the other side. But I think the vast majority of the country doesn't concentrate on these things the way protesters do, the way Washington, D.C. does. And I think if you go out into middle America and the middle of Florida, for example, you'll see a lot of people that are either very happy that we have President Trump, or even if they didn't vote for him, probably willing to give them a chance. I think that's how most Americans take their politics. They take it in small doses, they pay attention to it when they get to the booth, and then they go back to their jobs. And so, yes, here in Washington we saw a lot of protests, and probably on Twitter the very vocal folks get the attention. But I think the average American who's just working a regular job probably is just looking to see what a new president can bring and willing to give him a chance. And I think we owe that to every president. You have to give every president a chance to deliver. And more than just the president, as somebody who believes in the separation of powers, we need to give Congress, the policymaking branch, a chance to deliver. And this Congress has a different vision than President Obama and when he had a Democratic majority has. And now it's time to give Republicans and conservatives a chance to deliver on a different agenda. Mm. And they ought to be judged by whether they can deliver.
Yeah. Do you think Donald Trump understands this, though? The separation of powers, what each branch is all about. There's been a question of what his capabilities, and his response to that has been hiring the best people to help him carry out the job. So are you comforted by that and okay? For those who are uneasy.
I think everybody in politics deserves to be judged by their actions and what they do. And so with any new president, governor, any elected official, I think you give them a chance and you judge them by what they're going to do. As president-elect, he has nominated, in my view, almost uniformly, first-rate people. And that goes at the top of the cabinet and the people I'm seeing go into government at sub-cabinet levels. And so those are all good signs. And now we've got 4 years to see what's going to happen next.
And that's it for this edition of The Rotunda. It's Committee Week in Tallahassee. Lawmakers are back, and we'll keep track. Special thanks to Lena Juarez, David Johns, Jesse Panuccio, and all of the great folks that roll out the red carpet during my stay here in Washington. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com, support the program, and share it with your friends. Also, be sure to join us again next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.